This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. We've got lots to talk about this morning. I had a guest scheduled. They have had to postpone. So we're going to be delving into the news this morning. I don't think we're going to pick up any of the conversations from yesterday. We could if you want, but we have lots to talk about. AI-driven solutions can improve our healthcare, reduce poverty, combat climate change, mitigate crime is one article. Bell, rent-to-own will help thousands is another article. Another thing I'm excited to talk about is on the front page of today's Guardian. PM offers Botswana expertise on crypto. There are a couple more stories about the Davis administration's delegation to Botswana. Davis leads delegation to Botswana. PM leads delegation from Bahamas to visit Botswana. Davis announces partnership with Botswana and Bahamas can be hub for Africa in Caribbean, says ambassador. Oh, we have a couple more stories. Reed hails benefits of shock treatment as nine graduate and BPL union ups demand for consultations. We get the show started, a bit of housekeeping. A notice for the members of the Hannah Hastie Tynes family. The family association meeting for March is going to take place on Wednesday, the 20th of March, 2024 at 6:45 p.m. via Zoom. The Zoom link has been posted to the family WhatsApp groups and to the family Facebook page. We will continue to add information and repost the notice throughout the day. One of the things we're going to be talking about at the Family Association meeting is the Hannah Hastie Tynes South Out and Walkathon on Saturday, April the 6th, 2024 at St. John's College, Stapleton Gardens. The South Out and Walkathon are scheduled to start at 8 a.m. We're scheduled to start at 8 a.m. For family members that want to be added to the WhatsApp group and for people who want to ensure that their family information is added on the relevant family tree, you can email your information to hhtreunion1782@gmail.com. That's hhtreunion1782@gmail.com. You can also WhatsApp your information to 1242-455-7242. That's the HHT South Southern Walkathon, Saturday, April 6th. You can call that number 1242-455-7242 to arrange a pickup for tickets or for a walkathon form. And good morning, not just to the HHT clan, but to all of the families in the Bahamas. Good morning. Young people deserve to be a part of a family. They have a right to know who their family is, and we become a stronger society when we shore up our individual family units. I got a text coming in right now. Hi, Aaron. How is it that we constantly pay lip service on this crypto issue and even now speak about knowledge exchanges with Botswana, but the average Bahamian is restricted from even participating in the industry by most local banks? We are really a bunch of fakes and pretenders who seek to advance the rich and hold down those striving to make it. A good morning, texter. I think what's happening is that the powers that be don't understand how systems work. They don't understand that you need well-oiled and well-coordinated systems to create an industry, right? I could have told you long time ago how successful, or I could have put the question on the table, how could successful could any crypto initiative be in the Bahamas if the vast majority of citizens are completely and totally ignorant to what crypto is, how exchanges work, how crypto works, how money and finance works, right? To be able to operate a sustainable, substantive, and successful, quote-unquote, crypto industry, you have to build a, you have to create critical mass in your country where everybody knows crypto. Mr. Nure, I see you want to jump in?
Usually you introduce me before I start speaking.
So yeah, but that's cool. That's cool. That's good.
But I think the debate is kind of skewed.
Okay.
What the Prime Minister announced was that the Bahamas is one of the few countries in the world that has legislation regarding cryptocurrency.
Right.
Right. He is planned to give that legislation, share that legislation with Botswana, right? That they can use that as a launch pad to can do whatever with the things you say to create an industry. Mm-hmm. Start off from that. Now, I embrace your critique and your criticism about the industry. Right, mm-hmm. About people not being familiar with cryptocurrency, nor understand how it works, or have yet to see a successful platform to say, well, this works in the Bahamas, right? The largest crypto space that we had was FTX that we were excited about. Mm-hmm. With the collapse of that, we are still waiting for information on what happened, how did we combat it, what was our, how did our legislations come into play? And of course, if you speak to the Attorney General, what's the place that governs all of these crypto spaces?
Securities Exchange?
Securities Exchange Governor. She would say that, see, our legislation came into play that because we were quick to preempt, we were quick to respond, and this is the need or this is the benefits of the legislation itself. So it works, right? And we can have debate on how well it works or how can it be changed and expanded and improve upon. We could do that mm-hmm. later. But this is a time where persons in that space who feel that the legislation is inadequate, right? If it is that, or who wants more, to have this conversation, the tough conversation, and challenge back the descriptors of the legislation and the actors in this space.
Well, I'm going to pick up from where you left off. Will the real experts stand up then, right? Who are the people that make up the expertise that the Prime Minister is referencing? And why do we see no evidence of their work in the public domain, right? Why are they not producing journals? Why are they not producing professional review? Why is it that we cannot readily identify who these crypto experts are and the space that they work in, or any evidence of their work outside of their relationship with the government? If I can stick a pin, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning to all.
Morning, how are you?
I'm all right. You know, we should be asking ourselves this. What is Botswana known for? What are the things that they do good? You know, and from what I understand, it is these people are transparent. They're not corrupted. They're not corrupt at all. In fact, their government has been in power for so long just because of lack of corruption. You know, and Botswana is about natural resources, gold and other minerals. You know, And I think that the question needs to be asked, that should be asked of the prime minister, is why did he take so many the MPs that he did, or the representatives, the people that he did with? He needs to explain what are their purposes there. That's the first thing, you know. And you know, and then this thing about crypto, it doesn't make no sense to me. In fact, what he said first was they had the same issues with climate change. That was his first reason, explanation for his reason of his trip, and just rebuilding this relationship. These things can be built, you know, through the internet, through a telephone, analog.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
So.
Thank you.
We need to put the right question. The media needs to question the PM, the government, our position, and the opposition. I mean, thoroughly and in a particular manner. Thank you.
Thank you very much, caller. Piggybacking off of that caller, I'm going to read from this article. Davis announces partnership with Botswana. It was in yesterday's Nassau Guardian. Prime Minister Philip Davis announced today that the Bahamas is prepared to open doors for the people of Botswana to come and learn the Bahamas' approach to tourism and hospitality. This exchange will undoubtedly enrich both of our countries, fostering growth and innovation, Davis said during a joint press conference with Botswana's president, Dr. Masisi, in Botswana. Quote, furthermore, the Bahamas remains committed to assisting the Central Bank of Botswana in the development of its digital currency. This venture speaks to our shared vision of embracing technology for economic advancement. I believe that the island of Grand Bahama is poised to play an integral role in trade between the U.S. and Africa, bringing continents and cultures together. There's a word missing there. Again, I'm reading from the article, Davis announces partnership with Botswana. Similarly, we are eager to explore programs akin to those we have in Ghana, focusing on the exchange of technical medical nurses, which will enrich the Bahamas' healthcare system with invaluable expertise and compassion. Building on our signed memorandum of understanding, which has already opened doors to numerous opportunities for educational exchange, we are thrilled to further expand our partnership. The government of the Bahamas is pleased to announce that the Bahamas Agricultural and Marine Resources will sign a memorandum of understanding with the Botswana University of Agriculture and Natural Resources. I'm not sure if that's supposed to be the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, or if it was supposed to be BAMSI.
Yes, and I thought the same thing. More like it's BAMSI, but go ahead.
They will sign a memorandum of understanding with the Botswana University of Agriculture and Natural Resources. This collaboration will pave the way for groundbreaking research and development in both our countries, leveraging our rich natural resources for sustainable progress. Okay.
I have no problem with any of that. I understand that look that you gave me, right? This is an overarching, overall, broad scope of ideas to be deliberated on and hashed out, the possibilities.
Hashed out by whom? How can we hash it out? How can we understand it? How can we critically interrogate it? How can we prepare ourselves to support the government in whatever initiative is established by this MOU if we don't see it, if we don't understand it? I mean...
And I hear you critiquing them.
Yeah.
Like I said, these were people in the space of these spaces should challenge and question what the government plans. Like for one of the points that they propose to help Botswana in terms of their digital currency.
Right.
I assume they're talking about
Sand dollar. Right.
I don't know anyone who uses Sand dollar. But
you know me?
Yeah, I know you use Sand dollar. And I prefer to get cash from you. You don't send me no sand dollars to me. That's just me. But I know you promote it, whatever it is. But when you trying to sell it to another market that we are successful with a concept, shouldn't the Bahamian people say, yes, we are successful because everyone I know uses the sand dollar. I know it exists. No, I'm not saying that it does not exist. Sand dollar does exist. The digital market, digital economy does exist. But to have it touted as something that we have embraced and that we celebrate, and I'm not sure that is happening at this present time.
Right. And can you call it a success if you're not assessing at a collective national level? We could talk about individual instances where businesses and people are using it successfully. We could talk about Family Island instances where people are adopting it and integrating
in mass,
it.
In large. Right, but then I would ask you, the objective of the government.
Come in now, caller.
We come in now, caller. Don't hang up. The objective of the government. The objective of the government is to sell a suite of services that it can render in order to get some trade from Botswana. We know that we have a digital currency. It might not work properly. And when I say not work properly, I'm talking about terms of success and flourishing.
In terms of integration.
Integration, right? I'm not saying that doesn't work properly.
Yeah, I need to
make sure that's clear. But we can sell it because it works.
True.
Right? What the thing where they was talking about with the cryptocurrency may not be popular amongst the behemoths in general, but we have legislation.
We have
legislation that we can sell and what we can trade.
You reminded me of the initial VAT conversation when the government said, yeah, it's successful. And then they came back to us with a review, an external review, right, that touted sort of the success of our implementation. But it turns out, for me at least, after further interrogation, that the success that they're talking about is not a real success. Your implementation was successful because you applied VAT to everything. You made it as easy as possible for yourself by applying VAT to everything. We get back into this conversation.
Yes,
good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How you do?
I ain't doing good when it comes to you because I still waiting to put this pepper garden here in the back of my yard. Now, you know how much years I've been running you and Davis and all your damn.
Well, now me and you running Davis down. But I know he's a busy man. He have children. He's a coach. He have children. And then he raises puppies. He got a different type of children. So
I'd
be easy with him.
Well, chewing you out. But anyway, come on in, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning to you, man. It's good to hear your voice.
Listen, Desmond is correct. Desmond, see, fellas like Desmond and 52 and C. Allen and them fellas, they deep, are critical thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
They can go down and they can get the facts. Botswana is a very, very honest and open and Tingham nation. So for me, Aaron and Nuri, our delegation going to Botswana, with some of the things, them questions, them things they put to us was almost like a slap in the face to the Bahamas delegation, because they put some serious questions to them. You understand me?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of honesty and transparency. Now, but the one what I can't seem to, I still on the ground trying to get up, was the question that the African reporter said to our delegation. He was the first one to ask questions. He said, how come every time I follow delegation or the Bahamian delegation, wherever they surface in the world, y'all know I'm moving in with yours.
I did smile at that. Now,
I need help with why they asked them that, because to me it was an inappropriate question. But why did they ask them that?
Well, I could tell you, I could right off the top of my head, I know that many African states are involved in a political conversation aimed to increase the participation of women in politics. Some African countries have voluntarily adopted a, what do you call it, like a ratio, a percentage, that we commit to having a certain percentage of women candidates run, right? Because you can't commit to having a certain percentage of women MPs, but you can commit to, parties can commit to fielding a certain percentage of women candidates. And maybe they've been following the Bahamas' participation in that conversation.
And particularly this administration commitment. Remember, at when there was the opposition, they made the commitment that they will promote women in government and had a number of series of training to make sure there's a large contingent of women run. And when they selected the four, they then said, well, we'll have them act at different roles within the government. So
Nuri and Aaron, that women question, I agree with what you all are saying, but that could be a two-fold question, you know,
because
the Prime Minister said he had four women there with him, one couldn't attend, right? So why you think, on the other side, why you act, you think they looking for the delegation. We travel with their wives. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. That's a very interesting thing you didn't say there, sir, right? Speaking to, and here's what it speaks to, right? You can commit to eradicating corruption in your government and in governance. You could commit to it. You could write all kind of fancy white paper. You can give all kinds of impressive speeches. But at the end of the day, the common man with an interrogative eye can look at your political practice, can look at your political culture, and look you straight in the face and tell you that what you're saying is just words on paper, because you're not doing the things required to realize the commitment that you made, right? Speaking to Desmond, the earlier caller, and a point that he made, it's not enough to just make a press, release a press statement to the media. Do you have a statement that gives us the rationale behind why these particular ministers and parliamentary secretary were chosen, selected to be a part of this discussion?
And this is a reasonable question, Aaron. First of all, that is a reasonable question. I assumed, only assumed, based on the list of criteria or expertise that the Prime Minister mentioned, that we can trade in this, that. Those people who were there, the president, the ministers, and the technical support, were people who can expand on that conversation.
Yeah.
So I only just can assume that. I mean, they didn't go and say, well, minister of this is here and talking about tourism. Minister of that is here talking about cryptocurrency, or we have the technical support team. They didn't mention those people, but I mean, I assume that those people are present.
So I'm going to put myself in the shoes of a Botswanan state actor whose job it is to observe and assess, right? My job is to observe and assess. And I would also use Bahamian local media to build context and to give myself a better understanding of the room that I'm reading, right? So the first thing I'm going to say is, particularly after hearing Johnson's contribution, right, his detailing of the questions that were asked in that session, I'm looking at the Bahamas local media, and I'm going to say, well, the Bahamas barely mentioned our excellence in anti-corruption practices, right, or protocols. They barely mentioned that part of the discussion at all. I'm going to ask myself, why don't they want to have that part of the conversation with their own citizens? Why you don't want to talk about the potential of growing or eradicating corruption and growing systems that eradicate corruption? Why wouldn't you want to talk about that potential with your citizens? Surely that would get them excited, right? I'm looking at this political culture. You, in your local media, you give no rationale behind why these people came. In fact, in both of your local stories, the one from The Guardian, Davis Leeds' delegation to Botswana, that story ends with OPM did not say who else will accompany the Prime Minister or the cost of the trip. If you read the Tribune story entitled PM Leads Delegation from Bahamas to Visit Botswana, one of the first sentences is five members of the executive branch of government are joining Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis. Davis as a part of a delegation visiting Botswana from today until Friday. Why haven't you announced to us who all the members of the delegation are? You made a point to announce who the stars are, right? Mm-hmm. The ministers within the cabinet and the parliamentary secretary. But you didn't mention at all the technical resources, right? The technocrats that are going. We don't need you to name your aides and your security team.
So you question whether any real benefits for this initial meeting, this initial negotiations in terms of telling them what we can offer and then gleaning from what they can offer and bringing it back home, that we do not know who would be the point person and say, well, this is what we negotiate. But we negotiated before we went there. I think.
Right, the terms of the memorandum of understanding.
Yeah.
Surely. But I'm saying, remember, I put myself in the shoes of a Botswanan state actor whose job it is to observe and write a report about the nature of the event, the event itself, and the potential of the relationship that's being established at this time. After my assessment, I'm going to look and I'm going to say, well, listen, what we can offer most, the most valuable thing we can offer to the Bahamas is the thing that we're best at, which has been eradicating corruption, mm-hmm. right, from our systems. These guys probably don't even understand the way in which the political culture engenders, makes it easy for, creates an environment that is right and ripe for corruption. Right? And all because the state didn't feel a need to tell its own citizens what it was doing. And it turns out what it was doing is signing a memorandum of understanding with a whole nother nation.
And I see the critique.
Yeah.
I embrace it, right? Because there's a constant lack of communication from the leadership of the Progressive Liberal Party administration with the Bahamian people in general. Mm-hmm. I would have loved before the Prime Minister left, a outline of what this trip is going to be about. Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister's leaving. He's going to meet with the government of Botswana. He plans to talk about this, that. But just before they even leave, mm-hmm. right? In case I had one or two things, as a layperson, as a Bahamian citizen, I say, I hope they will discuss this, or these are the issues I have on the topics you all plan to discuss. Mm-hmm. Instead of, it seems like all of our announcements about the Bahamas tends to continue to be done externally.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's reined back down to us. And then we able to say, I didn't even know that's happening.
Yeah.
You know, why they had to tell the foreigners what they plan to do about us and not tell us first that they, you know, it always seems to be that frustration. And we've made that complaint and that critique before, that our prime minister tends to make general announcements when he's abroad about the Bahamas.
State actors in general.
Yeah. Yeah. So that concern I embrace and say, I see it.
And what's interesting is this, right? So this is a trip to Botswana. Then earlier in the year or late last year, I think it's earlier this year, there was the delegation that went to the G77 plus China meeting where we established relationships, I think, with Benin and maybe Burkina Faso. And I don't think Burkina Faso, another country we established a formal relationship mm-hmm. with. Then let's rewind a little bit further to the Prime Minister's trip to Rwanda, mm-hmm. where he remarked that the most impressive thing is the way that they their focus on ethics mm-hmm. and their mainstreaming or inculcating ethics in politics and government practices, right?
If I could get an award for that.
I mean, I as far as I'm concerned, he went there to get a good rundown of the UK-Rwanda migrant plan, right? That's as far as I'm concerned, because you didn't go there. I mean, because if you went there, see, here's what I'm saying. If you went there because you were so impressed by the ethics, see, if I was a Botswana state actor in his shoes or her shoes, I would say, how many new policies
have you adopted?
Have arisen since the visit to Rwanda? Is there any evidence in the public discourse or state conversations accessible by the public that evidence an understanding of how Rwanda is doing what it's doing and why Rwanda is doing what it's doing? I don't see any evidence of that anywhere. I just want to just touch on another Bahamas-African relationship quickly. Kenya offered to lead the military incursion, invasion, support, military support, right, mm-hmm. of a collapsed Haitian government. And then there was a pause because somebody in Kenya said, you know what, let's run this by the Constitution dead quick just to make sure everything is everything. And it turns out after a constitutional review, the Kenyans say, hey, we actually can't do this because we are not permitted per our Constitution to deploy or lend out troops if it's not an official war. And I paraphrase greatly there, right? Has there been any judicial or constitutional review determining the constitutionality of the decision to deploy RBDF Marines to Haiti? Now, it appears as if a discussion took place. The fact that the Commodore says that our resources, our RBDF Marines, will be deployed to manage a Marine blockade,
mm-hmm.
right? It suggests to me that some interrogation of the validity of the order, right, the deployment order.
It seems to be some kind of change happened.
Right, some interrogation took place. Why can't that be a public conversation? Why is that not a public conversation? Why has the government not produced a report on the determination of whether RBDF Marines can, in fact, fill this function, right? So we have these sort of three instances of engagement with African states. And if, like I say, if I was in Botswana's shoes looking at the Bahamas, I would call my friends, because we're friends now, right? Because we signed a memorandum of understanding. I call my friends and say, hey, I want to know if you are serious about this and if you are open to Botswana providing you with a fresher, with a course on what anti-corruption or commitment to anti-corruption actually looks like.
That's profound. And I appreciate that aspect. I agree regarding the Royal Bahamas Defense Force and the meter of change, it seems,
mm-hmm.
in terms of what exactly, and Bahamians have been asking that for a while, what exactly will our Marines do?
Right.
And you see, there's a conclusion that our Marines would be doing the blockade, different from what we initially thought or different from we assumed, right? Because we've been asking that for a while. But what I wanted to talk about is Ghana and recently how we adopted and embraced nurses
mm-hmm.
from Ghana to come to the Bahamas. That's a physical thing that we have done, a trade agreement, an exchange that we in the Bahamas benefited from our relationship with Ghana.
Right.
I see our Prime Minister mentioned that or hinted towards that too can be something that Botswana can benefit from.
Right.
They mentioned tourism. And I this is what I want to mention. Who owns Bahamian tourism? What is it that we will be trading Botswana with in terms of tourism? Will we be guiding them to say, hey, you need more foreign direct investors to come and own your tourism just like how they own our tourism? And so y'all can benefit by getting jobs.
And taxes.
And taxes. Is that what they will be exchanging? Or will it be a different concept of ownership, which we don't necessarily have? But I want to know what type of conversation mm-hmm. will we be exchanging? What will we be trading Botswana for or with regarding tourism?
Absolutely. I think it's a very important discussion because the cruise passengers, they're the cruise ships. Tourism customers.
They ain't on a cruise ship to have passengers?
No, I mean...
Because I see the cruise ship people telling them they can't come off the ship or they shouldn't come off the ship and be vexed. One minister even say if the cruise ship owners give them a letter saying that look out for these dangerous, we should ban the cruise ship from coming to the Bahamas.
No, we're not going to do that. I mean, I saw it. We're not going to do that, though, because government collects tax whether they come off the ship or not. See, and I think that's
so why would
the
minister say that then? That's a whole different conversation then.
The minister.
Okay, let's go to the call of that. Don't answer that. I was just baiting you.
That couldn't be our Minister of Tourism, Investment, and Aviation.
It wasn't the minister. It was the minister for environment and thing.
Ah.
Yeah. But let's go to the caller.
Good morning, caller.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yes. I asked, you all asked the question yesterday about Haiti and how can we help Haiti, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, and Mr. Yuri said, you know, he didn't understand what my contribution was.
I think that was a device to further the conversation along.
Yes. But I hope he is understanding what the problem is now. Okay? We are speaking about our African friends being involved in this situation in Haiti, right?
Yes, sir.
And those same countries are a part of a larger dynamic that involves nations like France, you know, that are still accepting payments from Haiti.
Colonial remittances.
I don't think France collects money from Haiti now.
Mr. Nuri is getting a picture of how big this thing is. You know, it's not about us getting up on a Monday morning and saying, you know, how could we help Haiti, right? It's us getting up on a Monday morning and understanding what has been done to Haiti over the past 200 years with the help of larger nations who now, in the conversation, saying they're trying to help. Okay, we must see this picture. And they, you know, I thank you, Ellen, for bringing up this point. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Anyway, Imam, have a good day.
You too. Thanks, sir.
I still, to the point, I'm still trying to find out how can we help Haiti, and nobody has given me a tangible thing that I can embrace, right? Mm-hmm. I see you mentioned Kenya. We're still waiting on what Kenya can actually do, because their constitution challenge, their people different. Their people are open. They challenge the law. The law comes to fruition. Now they're trying to find new ways. I just run and find out what can we do here in the Bahamas. It reminds me of Sir Lyndon Pinglin's speech when he was addressed to the news, I think it's NBC, mm-hmm. when they're saying, why can't you all stop the drugs from coming into the Bahamas and what's not? And he said, man, it's an ABC thing. If big America have all the resources and can't stop the drugs, what do you expect small country like me to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And even adding on to that, I'll let you speak now, Aaron. Forgive me.
No.
Our prime minister saying that the UN needs to be more serious in regards to what's happening in Israel with the people in the Gaza Strip. And I was saying, I wonder who he's talking to.
Now,
I'm sure someone asked him that question. He responded. But who he's talking to? I mean, who listening?
All right, let's stick a pin. Let's go to the caller, and then we're going to transition to that story.
To?
Good morning, caller.
Morning again, Aaron Green.
Morning.
I called back for Mr. Nuri this time.
Yes, sir.
Everybody seems to be avoiding Mr. Nuri's very, very, very serious question.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to help Haiti? But you know why we can't answer that? Because from its inception, everybody has been avoiding the elephant in the room, especially a few years after their independence. Yeah, we could give them billions of dollars. Yes, we can give them all kind of food, aid, this, that, and the next thing, and assistance from all over the world. But what, in the last 200-plus years, what has happened to the majority of the population of Haiti is they lack education, the pink elephant in the room. We can give them all of the stuff they need, but we must educate those Haitians. Because if you listen to some of them, especially today, you could tell they ain't get 1 ounce of education. So how you can help somebody like that who can't even understand where you're coming from? I can hang up and listen to what you and Mr. Nuri have to say.
Thank you. And okay, so Mr. Nuri, again, like the caller said, the question is important. Being able to interrogate the question is important. But here's my thing. Even when we find a solution, of course, that's loaded because I have a solution in mind. How do we shift local culture, local thinking to make that solution achievable? That's a whole nother question, right? How can we, for instance, when we were approaching the snap election call, a question I put on the table for the opposition, how will Davis cause or compel his state actors and the Bahamians and the wider public to discipline themselves? And in 2024, and the biggest issue that Davis has had to deal with, and the biggest issue that he has been unable to wrangle with, is causing and compelling not just state actors, but Bahamians and people in the Bahamas in general, causing them to discipline themselves or compelling them to discipline themselves. And so in terms of the solution or strategy for Haiti, no matter what it is, the second question is, how are you going to shift Bahamian thinking and practices to the place where that solution is achievable? Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning.
The gentleman spoke about give them education. You can't give them what we don't have. You know, this is the average nation.
Well, we but, think that the D is satisfactory.
I think a way to the solution is to just tell the youth the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It might just be our job to kill the ignorance, right? Just give them the truth and watch them. They will solve the problem for us. But first, we must start with the truth. All right? Thank you.
Thank you.
Aaron, as you know, I'm a student of history.
Yes.
I love history.
Yes.
Right? If you ask a typical Bahamian, because in our BGCSE program, our BJC program, the Haitian Revolution is mandatory. Any student who takes up history will be acquainted, aware of the history of Haiti. It's part of who we are, right? Mm-hmm. It's part of our self-awareness. Mm-hmm. It is being taught. We know what happened to Haiti.
And we teach it. So
there's maybe no critical analysis now.
Right.
But we know what happened to Haiti.
So children can get a sense of self, a sense of place, and a sense of time.
And now the question is, what can we do to help Haiti? Because we wear it. We wear the history. We wear the history. And we might be even aware of the superpowers saying, hey, they created history.
We got two solutions, right? We boycott the powers that be. Let me put the two on the table.
I said nothing yet.
The way that your face is talking,
because
though.
Once you stop my visa, I'm looking at you now.
Right?
Go ahead.
There's a complete and total boycott of the powers that be that have created this environment in which Haiti can't flourish. And that may not be as unachievable as your face is suggesting, because we have here PMU, UN Security Council needs reform.
Remember when we were the chairman of the UN? You remember when we had that?
Yeah, we didn't say anything.
Not at all.
PM calls for UN reform over Gaza, right?
You remember when we was a part of that?
The environment is ripe for that.
You wait till they be the chairman no more?
That's the solution that requires drastic social and personal change, right? Or we could keep playing the game and commit internally to using the spoils, right? The spoils of our successes against the oppressor to fuel our support of the Haitian people. I was going to use that word revolution, but ain't nobody like that word revolution
right
up in
now. We are part of the colonial system. We are the colonizers also.
Let me go.
We are comfortable with this. We look to have our own Haitians.
See, so let me take these two.
And now you're trying to take our Haitians away from us. This is why we don't have no...
Did God give you a Haitian?
Someone give it to me. If someone give it to me, got to be God.
Let me invoke the spirit of James Baldwin and say, if God didn't give you...
We don't have a livable wage because we have Haitians. And the only way that we will have the livable wage is if we remove that Haitian extract who works below the minimum wage from us, and then now we'll force the whole system here to say, hey, you got to pay Bahamians more.
Producer, let me talk to one of these callers, please.
Yeah, yeah. You got to say these tough things, you know.
Producer, hit one. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, Aaron, sir.
Aaron. Grant.
Yes, sir.
Morning, Nuri.
Morning. Blessings to you.
Hey, Nuri. I want to help you with something what I heard you were saying a little while ago concerning the situation with Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
You said, you asked the question, what are we going to do to help the situation in Haiti, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to ask you, you just listen to the news?
Most times.
You just listen to the Prime Minister?
Only when he's making sense.
Okay, you listen to the Commodore?
Only when he's making sense.
You listen to the Minister of National Security?
Sometimes.
Okay, well, the three of them said the same thing.
And none of them making sense. I realize that.
Okay, you're saying, them saying that the only thing the Defense Force officers will be doing is training the fellas from Haiti how to deal with the situation what they facing.
But they revised
that. To fight a battle.
They revised that.
Again on the grounds and then go do no groundwork.
Right, in fact...
They only going to train them fellas how to do military work, so to say. Right? So they're not putting the Defense Force officers them in no harm's way.
Well, I mean, they're putting them on the water.
Right, they are training them. That's all they're doing to assist.
But let me correct you. That training part is no time now. What we're going to do is we form a blockade. No, hold on. Listen to what I said. We're forming a blockade. We're going to be policing their seas. That's it. Full stop. Those extra stuff, we know when that can happen.
Hold on. That blockade only came up because of the breakout of the prison. That's why that blockout came up.
You just didn't listen to the update.
No.
There has been an update.
That is the reason why they did the blockout. Because of the prison breakout. That's why they did that. Now, the plan was always to train the fellas them over there how to deal with the situation they was facing. Okay, that's one. That's the first plan they had. From day one, that's the plan they had to do. That's what their plan was. But number two is, I heard Aaron was saying something about the prime minister and how much persons...
The delegation to Botswana.
Delegation to carried, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard you were saying that it's more than...
Well, what I did was I read two sentences from each newspaper article, one in The Guardian, one in The Tribune, that that suggested, right, that caused me to infer that the delegation is broader than just the parliamentary members that were brought along. That the two articles reference it in the way that they did, right, leads me to believe that the state intentionally didn't tell us who the rest of the delegates were. But if they were operating with a culture of transparency, they would have told us exactly who's going and why they were going,
okay,
who the policymaker was, and who the technocrats connected to that potential policy will be and why they are going. That's the point,
okay,
I was making.
I can tell you, concerning what I heard on the news.
Yes, sir.
Right? It's on the news.
I got another caller
the
behind
day,
him.
The day before they leave, this persons who they call off. Glenisana Martin.
But listen, I got the article.
We just want the technocrats.
Education.
Don't name the technocrats. Don't name the ministers. The technocrats.
But there was
that's all I want here. That's
there's
all I want
no
here.
Other technocrats gone with her.
No, there
right?
No.
They had
the technocrats.
Youth, sports, and culture.
Just hang it for me. You must have didn't
caller.
Hear what I said. Just call it technocrat.
But not just that, caller. I already shared that information.
Already?
Several times during the show.
And we asked for the technocrats.
We want to know who are the other members of the delegation that are going and why are they going? What is their purpose there? See, because it's not about, why are you hiding who you taken with you? It's that your work of governance would be more effective if you were more transparent, right? The wider public would be better able to support your administration or the government's, broader government's work if they knew what it was. Let's go to the next caller, please, producer. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
CA.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me give you the bottom line. There is a war in Kenya, but since Kenya gone invade Somalia, and the United States helping Kenya fight the Al-Shabaab.
Oh, this is a proxy war?
Yes. So... That's why now the story was on the news that the Kenyans sold them enough. The black had gone to Jamaica and increased it to $300 million. Now, the Kenyan soldiers will be paid lovely. Is our defense work going to be paid or that $300 million?
The Kenyan soldiers not going at all.
No. So whenever they do go, there is a $300 million to be spent. The U.S. government has that on hold. And they will send the money back home. See, that $50 million is for the soldiers, but I hope we're doing it for free. Because Kenya and the United States working to fight Al-Shabaab.
But sir, if you start paying them, then they become mercenaries. They get a salary.
What is $50 million for? He said, remember when
I don't know.
Blackie got to he increased it?
I don't know what the $300 million is for, sir.
To help the Kenyans.
The Kenyans are not sending any... No.
Sir,
the Kenyans are not sending soldiers. They suggested that they could send police officers, right? Whether it is that Kenyan soldiers are deployed internally or on the continent, right? In another conflict, whether it's proxy or not, is an aside, right? The question of... what do you mean, are our soldiers being paid? They're defense force officers. They're military. They don't get paid extra money to do the job. They do the job because they committed to the flag, right, and for which it stands. I got a text here, and I want to go through the text quickly. Producer, we could pull that caller for 30 seconds. Why is Nuri using the info I gave to make his case? Also, is Nuri implying that Haitian history is being taught in Bahamian schools?
It is.
First of all, this is African history. But see why I like to talk about having an accurate sense of time and sense of place, and sense of self and identity, and how you need to have all of these to have an accurate sense of self in the present. You're teaching the Haitian Revolution.
I learned Haitian Revolution.
That's African history as well as Haitian history.
I learned African history in grade 10.
And then when you get to the part about how the mulattoes fled and head to Long Island, isn't that not Bahamian history as well?
It's taught in our schools.
Okay, let's go to the caller quickly. Caller, you got 30 seconds.
Good morning, Louis. Good morning.
Morning, Pompilio.
Well, we had a hard show today. All I can say, as long as the 80 best president they had and they loved the country, they assassinated him. Most of the Haitian presidents are corrupt. They take their money, they exile.
I can't let you.
The country.
I can't let you say that. It's far more complex than that, Pumpkin Eater.
Plus, yeah,
you only got 25 seconds. Yeah, but you got 25 seconds.
Yeah, I'm trying to finish, but you interrupted.
Go ahead, quickly.
Along with they have corrupt government, Haiti ain't getting over. Like I said, the best one they got, I love him. They assassinated him. Now, according to Miami News, his wife might have been involved. That's another sad thing. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
Now, if they say our government can go into Haiti and teach governance, set up systems, if we have the best governance systems and say our governance work, I can understand we help them with that. But I'm still trying to find out how can we help Haiti move from where it is to better governance so they can survive on its own.
Absolutely, and we leave that table on the question for further interrogation. Let me run through the text quickly. Texas, I haven't forgotten you. Text says, this migrant infusion in our workforce can be addressed simply by enforcing an amendment or law encouraging a mandatory percentage of Bahamians to be employed by all sectors based on their industry. For instance, all hotel industry should have at least 60% Bahamians employed in their working population. Another text, Aaron, have you ever seen how Haitians deal with people when they are disgruntled? That's a very graphic scene there, sir. I don't think the Haitian police need any training. Also, who is Botswana? What does that have to do with us? Just like Haiti, it seems like we are going to have another problem on our hands. That you ask, what does Botswana and Haiti have to do with us? I'm going to stick a pin there and get to that later. Very quickly, more texts. I think it's time to dismantle the police union, same way we're dismantling the BPL union. I think we need foreign police and a foreign COP.
Just we don't have
thought.
A police union.
We don't have a police union, but I take your point and I will extend it as is my own. There's not supposed to be a police staff association receiving funds for police officers doing private jobs. It's just not supposed to happen. Mm. And again, to the earlier part of our discussion, if I were an observer looking in, the only thing I could report back is the Bahamas can't fight its way out of a brown paper bag when it comes to
corruption.
We
are trailblazers. That's why we went to Botswana.
Another text, a breakdown before leaving for the airport is too late. Within 3 months of getting into office, any government should have a detailed travel strategy and not be going to see Disney. Trips that have realistic possibility of achieving something tangible. And not we sign an agreement, ridiculous. In fact, before they get into office, they should as already know what their broad goals are and what travel might look like. We just run in this country by the seat of our pants. The only difference between Brave and Minnis is Brave makes a big PR show about his travel. Brave's PR is excellent.
The PLP administration PR is awesome.
I mean,
this administration is awesome. Mind you, some of the things that makes no sense.
It's more awesome than the actual administration of governance.
I anticipate that we can get some nurses. Go ahead. We can get some Botswana nurses.
Dictatorship looming, PM. That's the BPL story. We are all out of time, and Mr. Nuri,
Say we need to get some nurses.
Listen, tomorrow I would like, if only for a moment, to talk about, not what I want to talk about, but what our PM wants to talk about. And our PM wants to talk about UN reform over Gaza. If he wants to talk about it, because ain't nobody, no regular people want to talk about Israel and
what is how many, our official stance?
How many thousands of Palestinian children are being killed, or how Global North media continues to insist that speaking against Jews is anti-Semitism, but speaking against Palestinian people is not.
I am pro-American.
Even though all Jews and Palestinian people are Semitic, because Semitic is about a language. And so how could a conversation interrogating the relationship between Israel and Palestine be anti-Semitic.
America support Israel, I pro-Israel too.
Well, you don't support your prime minister no more?
He was anti-American. You ask him to be anti-American, then see what he conclude. I don't believe that.
Listen, producer, play the music, please. Somebody practicing obeying here.
That's
because...
Slide the hands, I ain't for it. We support America. Whatever America decides is where we at. That's our official position.
I await the meeting where you tell the prime minister that.
He knows. We all know.
Good morning, and thank you to everyone who tuned in to On the Clock this morning. The texts, the calls. Thank you.
That's why he made that announcement in foreign, because he could be James and talking to us. We know better.
Call me for your South tickets and your Walkathon sheets. 1-242-455-7242. Have a great day, Bahamas.
Have a wonderful day.